So our scripture was in Matthew 13. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And so there goes Jesus, talking in parables again. There was a time when that's all he did. He just spoke in parables. He spoke in parables. He spoke in parables. Spoke in parables. And the disciples, probably like many of us, would say, "Why do you speak to people in parables? Why are you just talking in parables? Why are you doing that?" And he replied this way, "Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have, will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear nor understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes. They might hear with their ears. They might understand with their own hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they can see. And blessed are your ears, because they can hear." It's a pretty simple parable with a lot of meaning. So what's the parable about? A mustard seed? The garden? Perching birds? Well, yes, but it's really about the kingdom of heaven. It's about the kingdom of God. And as an overall picture to lots of commentaries and theological research papers that I went through, they kind of just relate to the expansion of the church. That's what they related to. The expansion of the church. The growth of Christianity, both as a fellowship of believers, as also an individual. And I'm inclined to agree. And so, in its simplistic form, I go to the Lord and I say, "Lord, help me with this. It doesn't have to be complex, but is there something any more deeper?" Seeking his counsel for a simple wisdom, he guided and led me and inspired me, and for that I am grateful. And just at that moment, I realize the significance in seeking the Lord is bigger than any message that I might be able to share with you, or any spiritual insight that I might relate to you even this morning. The significance is that God is approachable. Seeking the Lord is not for me only. Should I repeat that again? Seeking the Lord is not for me only. You must seek the Lord. You seek him for your answers. You seek him for your concerns. You seek him for your questions. You seek him for your deeper understanding, for your motivation, for your use of your talents and your gifts. This awe-inspiring God is here, alive, and available to you. It's not the privilege of the pastor only. And here's your slide. No one can have your relationship with God. I haven't even gotten to the parable yet. No one else can have your relationship with God. No one can have that relationship for you, and no one can have that relationship but you. And if you choose to neglect it, that's on you, not on God. You want to forsake the fellowship? That's on you. That's not on God. You want to say, what God desires in my life doesn't matter? That's on you, not on God. You want to spend more time with the world than you do with God? That's on you, not on God. You want to make excuses? That's on you, not on God. You've had bad church experiences in the past that keep you from church? That's on you, not on God. You continue to seek him. You continue to follow him. And this is one of the reasons why the importance of soap, when I give you the passage to read during the week, I share with you what I'm going to be speaking on in the coming week. Take a moment and read it. This was three passages. Read it more than once. Read it several times. Pray over it. Lord, help me understand this. See, just that alone is a huge privilege that you have. And to understand that the whole church together in unity, looking at this scripture, reading this scripture during the week, and praying for those that are in the doghouse, if you're so inclined. How awesome is that, that we come together as a church, we know what scriptures to pray, and we know who to pray for. Every single week, without a doubt, in its simplest of forms, there it is. And you can throw me in there too a little bit, right? Read the passage, you know. Lord, help me get something out. I hope that you show something to the pastor. He's getting older now, you know. So is the assistant pastor. He's getting old too now. We need all your prayers. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds can perch in its branches. It's about the kingdom of heaven, okay? Here's what the kingdom of heaven is all about. Here's your next slide. It's about transformation, not domination. Okay? Particularly here and now on this earth. The timing of this parable is kind of critical and important. It sheds some light on some things. See, Jesus is soon to enter into Jerusalem where they're going to herald him as king. We would know it as Palm Sunday. That's coming up very, very soon. And he's going to ride in, fulfilling prophecy about being the Messiah. He's already fulfilling prophecy, speaking in parables. And now he's going to fulfill even more prophecy about what the Messiah will do. And the crowds are going to swell with all kinds of excitement. They're going to declare him the king, and they're going to declare him the ruler. The crowds will want to overthrow the Roman Empire. They want to take down the evil oppressor. They want to mount a military coup. They want to lead a civil uprising in the name of their God. And here comes their Messiah. But Jesus' kingdom is about spiritual transformation, not about worldly domination. It's not about political domination. It's not about command and control of the earthly territory. He's already in control. He's already in command. He sees things in a spiritual way, in a godly way. He's about meeting the greatest need of humanity, reconciliation to God. It's about small beginnings and growing. Jesus' kingdom is not about an earthly kingdom. Jesus' kingdom doesn't have borders and boundaries and fences and walls. Jesus' kingdom is not geographical in nature. Jesus' kingdom is not governed by the majority. It is not driven by financial markets. Jesus' kingdom is not divided by culture and ethnicity or tribe. Jesus' kingdom begins with God's Holy Spirit planted, working, growing, developing within the heart. The key to the deeper understanding of the kingdom, it is that it is not somewhere out there. That God lives right in your heart. He sets up his kingdom right in your heart. He pours out his Spirit upon you. He resides with you and in you. Behold, I do something new. That's very new. Thanks to Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were bold enough to ask, when will the kingdom of God come, Jesus? When's the kingdom of God coming? We all keep saying, when's the kingdom of God coming? When is the end going to, and they're asking Jesus, you're the man. Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Just plant that in your brain and sit on that for a while. The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, oh, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God will dwell within you. Jesus' words. And a mustard seed back then was an expression of the time to signify something small or of little significance. We still use it pretty much in the same way. The faith of a mustard seed. If we were to look at a mustard seed, you'd not think much about it. You'd not think much could even really come from it. It doesn't exude great expectations when you look at a mustard seed. It's a kingdom principle. It's a kingdom principle. Here's your next one. When God is involved, something small can be turned into something great. See, in God's kingdom, people, situations, and circumstance, they are not limited to how they appear in the natural. This is why we learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Because what we see is often misleading. And what we see is not always a representation of the kingdom and the glory and the divinity and the sacredness of the Holy Spirit of God. We see God using Jonah even though he ran the other way. We see Gideon with a small army beat out multitudes. We see Moses, a man of perhaps a stuttering speech, lead millions. Moses did not part the Red Sea. God did. Jesus feeding 5,000 with a couple fish and some loaves. It's God doing what God does. And it's God doing only what God can do. It's like looking at a small mustard seed, and the expectation is not very much. But watch what God can do. It's like God saying, hey, I want to do something with you. I want to do something with you. Me? I ain't got much. I'm a little mustard seed. I ain't much. God, what do you got? What do you got? Give me all you got. Oh, a couple fish. I got a stutter. I fear, doubt. I ain't got much, Lord. I don't have much. God takes what you got and multiplies it, advances it. That's his plan, to show himself strong. It ain't much. There's the widow's mite. It ain't much, God. Help me in my unbelief. God asked me pretty clearly, what do you got, Stan, son of Edward Snezek and Martha Mosley? What do you got? Say, I got not much, Lord. Not much. I sat empty, withered, distressed, depressed, lonely, tired, crying. I got nothing, Lord. I got nothing. I am nothing. I look like a failure. I feel like a failure. I have failed. But you want to take this little piece of nothing? You can have it. You can have it. and make it what you want. I'm yours. I'll give you the little mustard seed of faith that I got, because I'm talking to you. There must be something there. But I got nothing for this world, and this world has not treated me well. You got the faith of a mustard seed, Stan? I can use that. You got a little bit of belief in me? I can use that. I can use that. You just got a little bit of something to hold on to? I can use that. You got a couple fish? I can feed multitudes. I will show myself strong in your life. I will make myself known to the multitudes through you. I will make myself known to you and through you. And you will know that my name, I am, is real. And you will know that I am God. And there is no other God above me. I will show you that I am your God, and the world will know who I am because of you. And he didn't say it to me only. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, can I get anybody to say amen? I'm filled with, I will show of God. He said it to you too. I will show myself strong to the world through you. Even if all you got is a little bit of fear, a little bit of doubt, a little bit of faith, God will take it. That which seems small to you is great in God's eyes. He took this failure of a life and gave me the desires of my heart. He picked me up and cleaned me up and set me about encouraging others to make an impact for his kingdom. I hope today that I can encourage you in some way to make an impact, because the reality is this: once God intervenes, everything changes. Once God intervenes, everything changes. Most of us struggle on our own, sometimes for years. We stay in a place. We say, I'm merely a mustard seed. I only have a little bit of faith. I have very little to offer. Before a seed, here's your next one, before a seed can even grow, it's going to have to be planted. What happened to the mustard seed when it gets planted? We say it dies to being a seed. It transforms. See, and watch, it has got to stay planted. You can't plant the seed and then go back 2 hours later and dig up the seed again. See if it's still there. You have got to be able to come to a place that a seed has been planted in you. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which you would attest to, planted, done, marked. Now, are you going to doubt that it's planted? Are you going to doubt your salvation? Are you going to question God at every turn? Are you going to think about yourself more than you think about God? You start to go into all these scenarios and different situations, and you have yet to just land on what God has already done. Something new is being born within you. It sprouts up, a sapling, a tree is grown. Something new starts to happen within you. You cannot stay an acorn and grow into a mighty oak. You can't stay a seed and grow into a tree. And you have got to mean what you say when you say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Circumstances and situations and people that might seem small or even destined for insignificance is incomplete. A seed has been planted, and you're still growing. And you're still growing I'm still growing. God Himself, the Holy Spirit of God, is at work within you. God does this. It's nothing of yourself. God does this. So, it's kind of like, die already. Die already. Just, can you start the transformation process already? Are you still wrestling with God is with you? That's done. That's over. He did this for you. You accept it and receive it. And now you walk in it. And you walk with Him. So die already. We are living as members of God's kingdom here on earth. And the things we do and say and our circumstances, when done according to the will of God, are subject to that very principle. That God does the work. I don't know who you think you are, the faith of a small mustard seed, but God does the work. Planting the faith, planting the knowledge of Himself. I know at times we can feel as if we're insignificant, like you don't even matter, like you're not making any impact. I know it can feel like we're not getting anywhere, like sometimes we're spinning our wheels. I know it can seem like we're not growing as fast as we want. I don't do all the things that I'm supposed to do. And there's this tiny little mustard seed of faith within you. Why do you look elsewhere instead of looking at that little bit of faith that God has imparted upon you, the Holy Spirit that's planted within you? God has the habit of starting the great things through the ordinary and seemingly insignificant, so that no one should be discouraged and despise humble beginnings of any pursuit being done for the glory of God. When God touches and blesses ordinary people, then those people can do extraordinary things for God if they will just continue to obey, to stay planted, to stay planted. We are not capable of seeing the outcome of the futures of our labor. Again. We are not capable of seeing the outcome and future of our labor. But we are called to obey whatever God told us to do and trust that He knows and prepares the future for us. No labor is in vain if we do it according to His will. And He's planting seeds even right now, embedding them deep into your heart. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Small as they may seem, small as they may be, as insignificant as it might appear, the kingdom of God, oh, are you ready? I hope you're ready. The kingdom of God is knowable. See, it goes right back to you have to seek Him. You have to believe that He exists and that He's real. And that when I read a soap passage and then I go to the Lord and say, help me with this, He hears me. He understands me. He knows. But if I ignore it, that's on me. If I choose not to consult or speak with God, well, that's on me. If I choose not to go to church, well, that's on me. See, I can choose to not know the kingdom of God. Many people do choose that. They choose to stay unknowable. But God has imparted upon you the Holy Spirit of God that would say, I will teach you, He Himself, I will teach you, I will guide you, I will lead you, I will inspire you, I will give you discernment, I will give you great understanding. Why do you not seek that? Far too many people are looking for the grandiose items of God. They're looking for the big pictures of God. And He shows up in the smallest of things. People are looking for the lightning bolts and the flashings and the wrath of God and the earthquakes. And He shows up in a whisper. The kingdom shows up in the kindness of a stranger, the patience of a friend, exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit in your life. There's God. Do you see it? Or are you waiting for a lightning bolt and a 2x4 upside your head? The faith of a child. If you ever stood by the bigness of the ocean, you can feel like a small little mustard seed, right? Like a grain of sand. And look what God can do. Look what God can do. Those that are searching for the big guy upstairs can easily miss the servant one who was born down here below to show us the way. Oftentimes our eyes are looking at the wrong things. Our expectations are for the wrong things. When the kingdom of God is not, oh, there it is, or hey, there it is, the kingdom of God within you. People often do more in order to reach the throne of God when God has already accomplished everything that's necessary to reach the throne. Can I get an amen? I know we like keep doing. Jesus says, done. Hey, I got to pray more, I got to do more, I got to be smarter. Jesus said, done. Done. You are reconciled back to God, especially if you're going to say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Amen and hallelujah. God himself is planting himself within you. Why are you looking anywhere else? Right here, Lord. Right here. And is it too simple? Is it really just too simple? Is the kingdom of God as invisible as a mustard seed or a grain of sand on the beach? You will look for the kingdom of God. Here it is, there it is, it's over there. The kingdom of God is within you, and there is no hopeless life or hopeless situation with God. Change always begins with the right relationship with God. Transformation is always a process. I've been processing and changing and transforming and, dare I say it, transitioning for years. How about you? How's it going? The seeds of the kingdom have been planted into our hearts. And you're here this morning because I believe that you have a desire to grow into a deeper connection with that God. You desire to blossom into something far larger for God. And he's cultivating and he's nurturing the seeds that are within you that he planted into your heart. Sometimes we feel lost and insignificant. Look what God can do. What's going to happen to the seed in your heart? This little mustard seed of faith. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to know all the verses. You don't have to know how to spell Deuteronomy. You have to have a belief in the kingdom of God. A belief that God is at work in the soil of my heart. That he will work within you and through you. And what causes the seed to transform? What causes the seed to grow? Water? Sunlight? Spiritually? Is it Bible study? Church? Prayer? Yes. Yes. Ultimately, God. Ultimately, God makes it grow. There's your next one. God is the one who causes the seed to grow. The farmer can't make it grow. And two of the Holy Spirit people keep running back, digging up the seed in their heart. Am I really yours, God? Have you really given me the Holy Spirit of God? You keep digging up the seed and leaving it planted and nurturing it and cultivating it and working on it and praying for God to do something amazing. Or show me, Lord, what you mean by this verse that I might implement it into my life, that I might serve you better. Just receive it. Walk in it. Stand firm in it. There's no doubt the Holy Spirit of God is upon you. You can't even will it to grow. God does the growth. You can't ignore it and expect it to grow. God causes the smallest and the most insignificant seed to grow into something that is the biggest and even the greatest herb in the tree. There's no limit with God, no limit to what he can do. In those seeds, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Paul. It's only God who makes things grow. God's responsibility to grow the kingdom. God's responsibility to grow the church. God's responsibility to grow the spirit within your own heart. But if you choose to ignore it, that's on you. You do the sowing, God will do the growing. You catch him, God will clean him. Right? You don't do that. You don't convert anybody. You don't convict anybody. That's the Holy Spirit of God. Why are you trying to do what God's job is? God's working within you to do something amazing. So you have to really kind of, what are you sowing into this precious mental cavity that you have? What nutrients are you feeding yourself? What avenues are you taking to dive into a deeper faith and a deeper understanding? And we always miss the mark. We can miss the mark a lot. Even then, God is at work. I remember I was coming back, and I was, maybe I've shared this before. I was supposed to share a little bit about a missions trip that I had been on, and I was supposed to go to Hartford when I lived in Connecticut. That would have been over an hour drive to go into Hartford to go see the small church plant, and I know the church. I knew the pastor. They were meeting in a Methodist church. They would meet at like noon or something. After the Methodist church met, they would come in. They were a little church plant, and I knew there was maybe 10, 12 people there. And I thought, you're going to make me drive over an hour to go there to speak to 12 people. I got my own church. I got my own thing going on over here. Why do I need to be able to do this? Cranky, moody, not very happy driving in all the traffic that was on the way there. So I go, man, I give it all I got, man. I'm laying it all out, right? My missions trip, and God did amazing things and showed me some great stuff, and he's at work within you, and it's all the good stuff that you would preach when you go to it, right? 12 people. Okay, I was obedient. 2 years later. 2 years later. I'm sitting at a leaders' conference, sitting around a table with a dozen other pastors, district superintendents up there. He's babbling on about something, as they do. And I don't know everybody there. The guy sitting next to me leans over and says, "You're the reason I'm here." I don't even know this guy. Me? What? Do you remember that small Methodist church that you came to and you spoke at? Oh yeah, I remember that church. The Lord spoke to me that I was supposed to go into missions. I'm studying to be a missionary candidate right now. What do you do with that? Listen. Bad attitude. Right? Feeling, right? Cranky, moody, all that stuff. Watch. Thing was insignificant. The worst part. When I spent some time with the Lord repenting about this. Repenting. I'm a pastor. Repenting. Okay? When I spent time repenting about that, it wasn't even really about my own behavior. It was that I thought they were insignificant. Do you understand? That they were insignificant. Breaks my heart even to tell the story to you. because I got shame, but the Lord covers it. I got guilt, and the Lord covers it. I got a bad attitude, and the Lord covers it. He continues to work in you and through you. And you heard me say it countless times, probably. Not in spite of who you are, but because of who you are. Because I would have had a bad attitude, because I would have been cranky, because I would have thought all these scenarios, I still would have been obedient. Because of who I am, I would have followed through and done what I was supposed to do. And God would work through that. There's nothing insignificant when God is at work in you and through you. The simplest hello to a cashier that's having a bad day, to hugging a child that just lost a mom, or holding a mom that just lost a child. The significance of how God is at work in your lives is huge. We all have our parts to play. And sometimes we'll go at it with bad attitudes, sometimes kicking and screaming, but I promise you, hold on to that little bit of faith that you've got. Trust in the Lord, even if you don't always doing what you're supposed to be doing or thinking you're supposed to be thinking or going where you want to be going, and you're just living your life for the Lord. He will do amazing things. Telling others about the kingdom of God, nothing you do is insignificant. And here's your next one. The seed will grow into something, excuse me, that brings life. God had a plan for that guy. God had a plan for that guy. He just needed me to go and blah, blah, blah. Jesus is talking about the depths of your spiritual life, the depths of divinity and all that is sacred. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It will grow. So I have this next slide here for you. I'm trying to bring this home. Give me that next slide there. What is it? What is it with the birds and the trees? You know, what's with the birds and the trees? The birds come in. There's a couple crows in a tree up there. You know what that is? That's an attempted murder. I'll give you a second. Okay. I needed some comic relief, thank you. Pretty heavy for me to get through that. Why would the birds come to the kingdom? Shelter? Shade? Protection? Unity? Fellowship? Harmony? Nesting? Raise up their little chicks? Why does the kingdom of God flock together? Why are you here this morning? To just be together is probably just enough. We can sing together. We can praise the Lord together. We can worship together. We can honor God together. We can look out for one another. We can celebrate together. We can cry together. We can protect one another. We can encourage one another. We get to make new friends, people that I haven't met before. I get to ask them out for a cup of coffee because they go to the same church. I should get to know these people. And isn't it ironic that something so small and insignificant as even me, God does something. He does something. As insignificant, God is with you and filling you and imparting upon you. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Think of what you were when God came and revealed himself to you and filled you with the Holy Spirit of God. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame those that think they're strong. God chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things of the world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ. It is because of him that you are in Jesus Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. Our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. Let's never lose sight of the fact that we serve a very big God. But let's be a part of what God is doing. We play a part in what God is doing. As long as we're doing our part, even the smallest seeds can become huge. God will bring about the transformation and the growth of the kingdom. I want to encourage each and every one of you to continue to be a part of God's plan for you. And if you consider this your church, be a part of what the church is doing. There's going to be a soap passage next week. Could you read it? There's a young family within our church. Could you maybe think of them and pray for them, Lord? Hey, bless them, Lord, this week. Help Jorge find a job. Amen. You got all week to do it. I would encourage you, do it a couple times. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, I thank you so very much for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for the way in which you continue to move in the lives of people. Father, I thank you so much for how you continue to touch, lead, and inspire by your Holy Spirit. As we yield ourselves to you, would you make yourself known that we might follow you, that we might do those things you desire of us. We come before you in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you guys. And I'm sorry I lost it.